scripture text for meditation is taken from Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. And I shall read. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Lord bless the reading of his inerrant word.
God, when I came to Singapore, I had fear and quaking in my body because I say, these people have been so strong for the truth. Maybe they will despise me because I'm from America. But I could say thank you for your kindness, for your hospitality, for the warmth of your greeting, your acceptance. One of my reasons for coming to Singapore, I've been in Kenya and the surrounding places, and I want you to know I am very thankful. Without your church, without your school, there would not be our good separatist Bible-believing work. All of the work that had been done at Faith College of the Bible to a certain place was being undermined by compromise, new evangelicalism. And so for 18 years, I was on the board of directors. I'm still on the board of directors of that college. For 18 years, it was subtly being undermined. The only reason we still have a separatist work there is because of your school here and of your ministry. I want you to know that your labor, it has been appreciated. And we love you for your sacrifice, for your work, for your labor. And for the scholars here, you scholars, you teachers know that the work is still urgent. The work is still under attack. The labor is still heavy. The labors are few. I came from Los Angeles. I left my wife who had been helping me in the work, and she became attacked by Satan with a grievous illness. So she has chronic pain, tremendous pain. There are casualties. There are hardships. But she is still ministering. I have to go to see my brother because he has been attacked with open heart surgery. And he has been very, very weak. So I'm going to be with him for 6 months and help him as he will go home for some relief. In Go International, it's a mission of Dr. Howard and Dr. Raymond Carlson, two missionaries. God has given us a cause. God has given us a message. God has given us a work. We have been chased by other groups because we're still Bible Presbyterian fundamentalist. We start with the Bible. We end with the Bible. And we hold the Bible to be the most sacred thing in our possession. And we've been despised because of that. We thank God for your care of our young men, and now a lady from Kenya. I could tell you many stories of how, as they were young scholars at Bible College of East Africa, they struggled every weekend. We would go and preach out in the bush. And they learned to be evangelists. They learned to be preachers. And as they were faithful, then God called them here to study at your college. Maybe the first person I could think of is Stephen Masila. I preached out in a very tough place. And after we had shown the Christian film and given the invitation, and people had shown a response of accepting Christ, Stephen came up. His heart was broken because of difficulty in the family. And so he said, I'd like to join your college. I feel God is calling me and working in my life. And so we said, well, Stephen, keep in contact with us. And he came to the Bible College of East Africa, and he did a beautiful job. He was very active in evangelism and church planting. So when he came here, we were thrilled. And we're so happy that he excelled. Today, we're so proud that he is helping in the Bible College of East Africa in a key position. He has been a key person to help Reverend Kim make that college the good success it is. But there is a blessing. Reverend Masila has a son. The son got straight A's in his Cambridge examination, qualifying him for the highest honors. Well, I could go on and on. I'll make you tired. You see, God, he has blessed your work. And the blessing has not only been with your young scholars at the college, but has trickled down to their Christian families. And we hope that this blessing will continue. We find here, I say these things because we're speaking about eternal prophets. When I came to Singapore, I did not know what to expect. I had no idea that this was a Shangri-La. It was, you know what a Shangri-La is? A very wonderful place, a place of dreams and splendor and wonder and peace and comfort and prosperity. But as the Queen Bathsheba, she said, oh, the Queen of Ethiopia, she said, I've not seen and heard half of what was to be anticipated. So yesterday when we saw what God has done, how this nation has worked and pulled and sacrificed, it is a blessing. And to us who are outside of Singapore, we say we have much to learn. I've learned many things already. Eternal prophet. I could see huge structures in Singapore. They say, this is the financial sector. It must mean that the Chinese, Malay, Indian, all the different people that are here, Islamic, they are very active in making profit. That huge building going up to the heaven, it has to cost a lot of money. And to put and maintain this city, it must be extremely expensive. There is no human reason why the city could be here unless people are making a profit by their hard industry. You say, well, this is natural for the people that have come here. They know how to work. They have a keen mind. They are honest. They are people of industry. They have integrity, and people trust them, and therefore they go ahead on a high level. And we say, that is the fruit of your hard labor. And we say, the world respects Singapore. They just say that the laws here are very strict. They don't want to drop a piece of paper. They don't want to be fined. So you have a reputation to look up to. But it's good. My mother was from the Holiness Church. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's good to be clean. It's not good to live in a shameful condition. Profit. What is profit from God's point of view? There are several scriptures that we want to look at. Jesus does not leave us in doubt. The wonderful thing about God's Word is the main teachings are repeated time and time and time and time again. When I was a young person, I went to college to make cakes. We came from a large family, and everybody had to go out and earn their own. And so I went to the college. I was going to become a hotel operator. And then Dr. Howard, when I graduated from high school and from the college, he says, come down to the Bible Presbyterian College and study. I said, why? He says, well, you come down and see what God has in mind. I said, I have nothing. I want to make money. I want to become a businessman. I want to have my hotel. And I have no way to go to the college. And so Howard says, come and talk to Dr. Clyde Kennedy. He was our pastor at the time. Dr. Brumbaugh had died. And so I went to see Dr. Kennedy after the evening service. And I said, Dr. Kennedy, I have $50 in the bank account. And I have an old car that's worth $50. I don't know how I could go to college. That's all the money I've earned. And he said, go and trust God. I thank God for my pastor who had faith. He knew the power of God to provide. I wanted to make money. Money was easy for me. I knew how to work hard. I made beautiful cakes. They took state prizes in the school. So I knew what I could do with my hand, but I didn't know about college. I didn't like to study. I passed well at the state examination. I didn't like. I went to the Christian Bible Presbyterian College. I loved the college. Why? In the state school, it was atheistic. They're training me to hate God. They're telling me man is his own God. They taught us to be humanist. Profit. What is profit to the humanist? What you can get from others without them complaining too much. Okay, so we were learning to be, we'd say, entrepreneurs by the government standard. So when we went to the Bible Presbyterian College, Highland College, our only Bible Presbyterian college in America, and it was closed later on. So sad. We thank God for that college because it was a college of the Bible. And it was a college of Bible Presbyterian pastors. And they were dedicated, they were separatists, they were militant. And we had our missionaries from the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions. When I went to the college, Dr. Gordon challenged me to read the Bible, and I did. And God spoke to me every day, every day. I did not mind God speaking to me, but I argued. But you know, when you love God, and he speaks to you, and you argue with him, really, God knows how to argue better. And so I thank God for his patience. I found God to be a loving father. God is very loving. He is very tender. He is compassionate. He is willing to endure with our hard and rebellious and cantankerous spirit. And as I was by myself during the summer break, digging in the shamba, doing different odd jobs to get my school fees, God, he spoke to me. He said, Carlson, you're very stubborn. Don't you know that I can take care of you better than the world? I said, yes, God, I believe you. Okay, I accept your contract. I will follow you, and you take care of me. God is very logical, and God knows how to get to our carrot. God knows how to motivate us and show, this is what you need, this is what I will do. And from that time, I found God to have fulfilled his contract, the prophet. What prophet was God offering me? And that's what we want to see here. We have to accept the promise that God, he holds it out before us. In this scripture, in verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? I don't know, maybe there are very wealthy people here today. My wife's father is very wealthy. He's Jewish. He's a businessman. He knows he's dedicated. He has really honored God with his tithe. He gives much to Christian work. He gives much to missions. And God has blessed him. He's a Bible Presbyterian elder. And he has been on the independent board for Presbyterian foreign and home missions. And so he has given himself and his wealth for the promotion of the gospel throughout the world. Many people, my father was very wealthy at one time in 1928. We have a huge Foot Locker full of the stocks and bonds from the silver mines and the copper mines and the nickel mines throughout America and South America. Huge amount of investment. And then 1929, a big collapse came. Everything in that Foot Locker was useless, gone. My father was born again. He loved God. He loved the Bible. Both my parents are that way. But he was not committed. He was committed to what? Stocks, bonds, and other, we say, financial securities. He was wealthy, but his wealth was gone at one moment. That is the security that this world offers. Today, the world is crying for security, job security, financial security, health security. There is no security outside of Jesus. He is the only, the eternal, the holy one that has given us that promise. Satan cheats. Satan shows you the wonderful beauty of the, we'd say, the movie stars. America is hypnotized by the movie stars. Everything is about cinema, cinema, video, video. They don't know anything except video and cinema, even the Christians. And Satan is blinding the eyes of so many people by this sort of worldly glamour. It's attractive. But when you see these movie stars, when they take off their makeup, and they take off their jewelry, and you see them after they've been drinking the beer and using the drugs, they're not beautiful people. The movie stars are not beautiful people as they live. No profit. Their lives are broken. They go to the psychiatrist because they have no peace. Their children rebel against them and hate them. The glitter, the glamour of Hollywood, of the movie stars, of the, we say, worldly fame, it has no eternal, lasting profit. Even the great runners in Kenya. Now, you have the young man Philip Langat here. He comes from the place of the famous Kenyan athletes that run cross country. I know many. They're very friendly. They're very fine. Many of them are Christian. So one of them I know very well, Moses Tunoi, very famous. He won the Boston Marathon twice. He won $550,000 twice. He became famous because he worked with a famous sports. Huge amounts of money. More than you can imagine for over there in Eldoret. He bought a large hotel. He's living at the hotel. But his life is a shambles. He stays at the hotel. He has no good testimony. His children, they are just washed out. Tragic. He has many mansions. Huge, huge houses. But his life is a desolation. He has no peace. He has no joy. A great athlete. A great athlete. These worldly profits last for just a short time. And then they're gone. Jesus gives a wonderful, wonderful story, illustration in Matthew chapter 25. Let us look there. Matthew 25. Jesus was coming close to his earthly ministry. In Matthew 25, he speaks about what really counts. And maybe some of these things are common knowledge to you. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, Verse 13 is what we would say is a good encouragement to us. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know when your last chance to invest in God's kingdom will be there. If my father had known that the stock market crash would come, he would have drawn his money out of the stock market and put it into a diversified economy. He didn't know the day or the hour. No one of us knows the day or the hour. We want to invest now. It might be our last chance to bring people to Christ. It might be our last chance to work in God's kingdom. Maybe something will happen with the global economy. It will burst, maybe. And your big stock portfolio or a bank account will be very empty. Currencies are that way. Wealth of this world is that way. It's very fragile. And we have to pray, how can I be a good steward of these great treasures? Let us look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So that's you and me. Jesus has gone into a far country. He's gone to heaven. He's delivered unto us, his people, his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So we notice here something. Your gift, your capability, your endowment has been given by God. You are responsible to your Creator for your capability. There are so many people that are extremely gifted, like Bill Gates. $40 billion worth of personal wealth. I can't imagine. His house was $500 million. I don't know what kind of technology he put into his mansion. Can you imagine spending $500 million for a place to live? That's just for himself and his wife, and I think he has one child. Well, anyway, Bill Gates was given this capability by God Almighty. I don't know what he's doing about God. Maybe you should pray for Bill Gates to be saved, that he would share his wealth. I don't know. But anyway, you notice God gave. It is God who makes rich. Some of you have been endowed in Singapore with tremendous capability. My wife has wonderful gifts with a computer. I really admire her. I don't have that gift. Dr. Howard, my older brother, he is gifted with a computer. I don't have that gift. My doctorate is in encouraging people to continue in Christianity and to do fruitfulness, to do evangelistic work, to go one by one to minister the people there in Kenya, to help with the church planning and the building the Bible schools and institutes. We have different gifts. These are our endowments by God. We cannot say, I am going to decide who I will be. You have this funny thing in the humanistic culture, I have to find my own destiny or I have to create it. And that's why you have so many people committing suicide. They're trying to be somebody or something that God did not make them. Young people, don't try to be anything but what God made you to be. God knows how He made you, and ask Him how He made you, and ask God to help you to fulfill your call and your purpose in life. You'll find fullness of joy then. Maybe you'll be surprised. You'll find that God is so much better than you could ever have thought. If God has made you good in maths, go into mathematics. If He's made you good in linguistics, go into linguistics. Don't try to be something that you were not made to be. God says, the master gave them 5, 2, 1 talent. Now, you notice now, as it goes through the account, they had to come and give an account of their stewardship. Now, what kind of profit are they going to get? Okay, you have the servant who had 5 talents. Well, you say, well, 5 talents is quite a bit. And if you had 5 extremely good gifts, you would be called a genius. Dr. Howard worked with Dr. McIntyre for quite a few years at Faith Seminary as the vice president of Faith Seminary. They worked hand in hand. And Dr. Howard says, Dr. McIntyre was a genius. He was extremely, extremely high in so many areas of his capability. And that was the burden on Dr. McIntyre's heart. He had the gift. He wanted to use it for God's glory and for God's kingdom. We thank God for these men, and we need to pray that God will continue to raise such men. For as the enemy has come in like a flood, like it has come in today, the Spirit of God is promised to lift up a testimony and a standard. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit will lift up through Far East Bible College, your young people, that man, those people, that movement, that moving of the Holy Spirit to bring revival, to bring reformation. It is still possible. Even at the twilight of the dispensation of our Gentiles, we have a stewardship to fulfill. What stewardship do you have? What profit do you anticipate to gain? You have to calculate. There is no banker here. There is no business person here. There is no shopkeeper here who does not make a budget. You have things organized. You know what to anticipate. You have an outlay of expense. And so you know what your profit margin has to be. Otherwise, you know you'll go out of business. And if you find one place lagging, you have to do something else. Are we doing this in Christianity? Are we as efficient and perceptive in doing God's work in the same way as our business enterprises? We know how to make a profit in business, but we are lagging behind in spiritual ministry. And we have to ask God to forgive us. Because we have been lagging behind. And the world goes on. And the world is giving us a hard time. And we are called post-Christian era Christianity. This is post-Christian era. No, Christianity is never post. God is creating history. We have a God who creates. He doesn't lag behind, and he doesn't become an object of historians. He is making the history. The church should be making the history. We should not be an object of historical research. We should not be a relic of another era. We are not post-Christian. We are up-to-date Christians. And we have to take stock of where we are, what we have to do, and what we need to accomplish our goal. Jesus said, okay, the master, he held a time of accounting. He came back. He wanted to know, okay, I want to throw a feast maybe. I want to use my money now in a more collective way. We don't know what the master was going to do with the benefits, that is the profit. He anticipated, I should have a profit. So he asked, what have you done? Each one of us here will have to answer that question. When Jesus comes and he confronts you and he says, what did you do with that talent? You say, well, I'm flabbergasted. I'm overwhelmed. I'm terrified. I've really never thought of it that deeply. I'm not as old as some here, but it's good to be with the older people. They could understand it's God's grace. There are no good people on earth. There are no strong people in their own right on earth. Everything from God is of His grace. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We're empowered by grace. And if you this morning have not been prepared yet to give a good record of your stewardship, if you have no spiritual blessing that you have produced, say, God, I need your grace in my life. I need that power to bring forth profit for your kingdom. We will be held accountable. We cannot escape it. The people of Singapore are the envy of the free nations. It's a stewardship. It's a gift. It's some blessing that God has entrusted to you. And if you have not seen how you could bring profit to God by it, say, God, give me your grace. Give me help. I've done quite well. We have the college. We have this assembly. We give our tithes. We help the poor people that are coming here to the college from abroad. And I'd like to congratulate you. You have been so generous to those that have come from Africa. Without your help, without your generosity, we could not continue. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to come to thank you for your generosity. We missionaries in Africa, we have a little bit. We tithe what we have and we build some of the primitive Bible institutes. But we don't have much money to send them abroad for their higher education. It's a profit in your portfolio. It is something that you have done that will have eternal rewards. Every time you contribute, every time you get involved with the college and the education and the preparation of your men of God, that is a spiritual profit. It is a benefit. We find here the one with 5 talents was faithful. He brought 5 more. He was blessed. Blessed are you who have been faithful in 5. I will make you what? Lord over many things in my kingdom. We have the person that was not faithful. He hid through indifference or lack of faith. He suffered. He suffered. There are only 2 ways in the Christian life: to trust God or not to trust God. It's only 2 ways: to serve Him or not to serve Him. And you cannot escape the inevitable. Death is there. The day of counting is there. And we are going to be held accountable for that talent, that gift, that opportunity. We want to look once again at the later part of this chapter. It's a very simple, a very beautiful portion of Scripture. And I've been the recipient of your kindness in this regard. Jesus speaks about Christians being thoughtful. So in chapter 25, he speaks about giving a glass of water, giving hospitality. And you know, there are many people that are not very lovely. There are many circumstances when you have poverty in your own midst. Many times it's not convenient because you're so busy. Your schedule is completely full. Yet Jesus said that when you see the destitute, when you see those that are hurting, when you see those that are strangers, it is the Father's will that you reach out and you help them. That is a profit. That is a reward. And we're told by God, God will not forget. God will not forget. We say these are some of the basic prophets that are a blessing, are a good sign that there is life in the local church. When the church can gather behind the leadership and become involved in Bible study, evangelism, youth work, and college ministry. Preaching the gospel all over this part of the ocean. I don't know how you describe. To me, it's a wonderful place. I've only read from the time I was a small boy about your location. And to me, it's like a dream to be in your place. It's a wonderful place, but a stewardship. People came here to get money. God sent you here to get souls. God sent you here to be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. That is a prophet. Who did they glorify? They glorify our Father. And as the prophet that we have, may we give the prophet before the altar of Jesus Christ. It is He who has made that prophet worthwhile. My time is finished. I just want to close with a simple thing. I'm getting old. I like to work in Africa. I like to go in the mountains. I like to go from house to house to tell people about Christ. But I can't be there all the time. I love to read to stay current with what is happening. But I fall asleep. But that is not profitable. To sleep has no blessing. So that is to sleep too much. So I want to be busy, busy, busy for the Lord. I know that in Kenya, there are many needy people. There is a great need for developing the Bible schools, finding scholarships for the students that are destitute. There are so many people that are starving. They're living on a very meager. When I was a small boy, I used to collect postage stamps. Because in Tacoma, Washington, where I grew up, it rains, rains, and rains, and it's cold. And so my mother said, do something. So God led her to say, okay, collect postage stamps. So I used to collect the stamps. It kept us out of mischief. We were very active boys, very troublesome. So after I went to Bible college, I left the stamp collection. I became very, very busy in the Christian work. So when I came home this time, I was crushed because of the deception and the desertion of our fundamentalist position. I was weary. I've never been weary in my life. But because of the hardships of ministry, because of the sickness of my wife, because of the turmoil in our denomination, I was just weary. And so as I would sit down to work for the Lord, I would fall asleep. I said, this is shameful. I don't want to sleep. And I said, well, let me then work on collecting stamps. Because people have collected, you know, they use stamps. And so they would tear them off and they would send them to me. And I would arrange them and sell them at the auction. And we could get some money. It was not a small, it wasn't just a small thing. Not very significant. But there is a profit. A small profit. I'm not so old. I see people older than me. But I can do something with the gift God has given me. It keeps my mind alert, and it helps some student to have a scholarship. It helps some pastor to have food to continue his work in Africa. What is your gift? Maybe you're not a stamp collector. I think Reverend Koo, he'd been collecting the stamps off the envelopes that come to the college. I mentioned that he said, oh, I have some, and I received a very huge parcel of used stamps. You know, you cannot use them again for postage, but God has another use for them. What is your gift? What can you do to bring profit? Can you pray? Can you encourage people? Can you help fix food? Can you encourage the sick? That is what my wife is doing now. She goes to the old folks' home and she prays with the sick people. She reads the Bible to them. She is counseling a young lady who has been living in sin. She takes care of the grandchild. That was a nice blessing. But there will be a profit because my wife, she sings the psalms to our grandchild as she cries her and she is put to sleep. She sings and she reads the scriptures to our granddaughter. The first things that she will know are the things from God. We find that there is profit for God if you commit your heart to Him in prayer. None of us have to go to heaven without profit. If you have not been challenged before, I encourage you. You have been such a blessing to Kenya. You've been a blessing to so many, and it'll be a profit for your kingdom ahead. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. There's still a battle to be fought, but God's grace is there. And as never before, as all of these adversaries have come, we've found God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul says, God, please, take away the thorn. And God says, no, the thorn is going to be there. You're going to have to suffer. But I will give you the grace. I will give you the strength that you need to bring glory to me. Let us pray. Our God, our Father, how we thank thee for thy holy word. Thy word is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our pathway. We pray, God, that we shall not take lightly what thy Son has told us, that we are given by thee these different endowments, that who we are and our abilities should not make us proud, but it is our humble service to thee, our Creator. And as we see others in the world who have need, have difficulty, help us, our God, by thy grace to reach out, even though it is difficult many times. May we be willing to sacrifice. May we be willing to donate our time and our resources. And we pray, our Father, for those that have studied from different places here at the college, that as they have been partaking of these blessings, that they will go and share them freely with those who sent them. We pray, our Father, that there shall be compound interest, because those that have been taught here, have been prayed for, may they be found faithful, and may they increase, and we say, in a great way for thy kingdom. Receive our thanks, God, for how thou hast used this ministry, not only here, but throughout the world. We thank and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.